Well, good morning. It's good to be here. Good to see everyone. Amen. It's good to be seen, isn't it? Amen. Look at all the children. That's awesome. Just running to and fro. Some folks out this morning, we'll lift them up in prayer for sure. And traveling, and some are not feeling well. Amen. We're going to be in Hebrews this morning, so if you want to turn there before we get going, Hebrews chapter 1. A couple of weeks ago, we had a message on Hebrews chapter 1, and then I just kind of felt to go back there again. Let's continue on. We'll see how far this can go, see what God has for us in Hebrews. Have you noticed, got the message together through the week, and somewhere around Thursday or Friday, Lynn was looking at my notes, and she said, I could do a little sermon note thing. And I was like, well, knock it out if you can. I don't have time for that one. But she did, so she put together a little sermons note, and I kind of like it. I hope it's a blessing for you, so thank you, hon. For doing that. If you do not have a sermon note thing, Glenn's got one. Does everybody have one? It was in your bulletin. Yeah, it was only one per bulletin, but so Glenn, if you need one, raise your hand. Glenn will bring you one. Yeah. So if you have pen and paper, we'll go through. Now these are my notes, so if I skip something, don't hold it against me. Sometimes I'll roll and I don't even go through my notes at all. But this morning, I'll encourage you to be studious as we go through Hebrews. But two things. One is make sure, definitely here on the business meeting night, so when we do, you know, if the Lord's will, we do vote that night. We'd love for everyone to be here. And, you know, I'm sure everyone's been praying about that big decision over the last 4, 5, 6 months, right? It's been a while since we first brought it up. So please be here. And then also, I have to give a head count for Ms. Karen for the discipleship training class that the Mercer Association is having this Tuesday night. So if anyone's interested, they go to the founder of the D-Life. It's called D-Life. And it's a discipleship program, and it's very effective. A lot of churches are using it. My good buddy in Hayhower Baptist Church, David, they're using it. They love it. So Tuesday night is just like an intro overview. So if you're interested in going, I want to go, but I can't go. I'm going to be out of town. But if you want to go, at least I'd like to have at least one or two guys go. So please let me know. Thank you, ma'am. And at least maybe somebody might want to go, Miss Elaine. It's an overview. It's not going to cost anything. So at this point, I'm sure they're going to sell something later, you know. But I've heard it's really good, and at least scope it out, do a recon, see what it's about. All right, so let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this morning. Thank you for the folks here. We ask blessings, that you'll bless everyone, and the ones that are not here, Lord, that you encourage them and protect them as they travel and go and enjoy their families. And Lord, I pray that you help me with this message this morning, that you'll speak to our hearts, that you'll teach us your ways, help us become more like you. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4 through 14. It says, having become as much superior to angels as the name he has inherited is more excellent than theirs. For to which of the angels did God ever say, you are my son, today I have begotten you? Or again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Verse 6. And again, when he brings the firstborn into the world, he says, let all God's angels worship him. Of the angels, he says, he makes his angels winds and his ministers a flame of fire. verse 8, but of the Son, he says, your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of uprightness is the scepter of your kingdom. Verse 9, you have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God, has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions. And you, Lord, laid the foundation of the earth in the beginning, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish, but you remain. They will all wear out like a garment. Verse 12, like a robe, you will roll them up. Like a garment, they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will have no end. And to which of the angels has he ever said, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet? Or are they not all ministering spirits sent out to serve for the sake of those who are to inherit salvation? Everybody said amen? Amen. And the title of this message, Jesus, Angels, and Us. And so we're gonna look at this scripture. Hebrews has a tendency for most people to be very interesting and sometimes maybe a little complicated to understand. So we're gonna try to break this one. I'm a teaching mode this morning, so we're going to break these scriptures down 1 through 14, and we're going to look at them. Now, one of the most fascinating, to me at least, and for most people, one of the most fascinating messages or stories or subjects in the Bible is the subject of angels. And we know that that angels are mentioned more than 250 times in the Bible. And the Hebrews, we remember from a couple weeks ago, you know, they were starting to kind of doubt. They were starting to say, I'm not sure about this gospel. And they were even considering going back to Judaism. Remember that? A couple weeks ago we talked about that. And so the writer of Hebrews, they had to really drive home. They had to really prove to these guys that Jesus was more excellent than angels, because these Hebrews had a very high view of angels. Amen? Now, we can translate this word. It's real interesting because when you look at the Hebrew and the Greek, a lot of words are different and have different meanings and this sort of thing. But this word angels has the same meaning in either Greek or Hebrew. And basically the word angel means what? Messenger. Right, it means messenger. And it really reveals the function when God created them. You know, he created them basically to protect us and get things done and really to be a messenger. In the Bible, angels bring God's message to earth. We look at Psalms 103:20. Let me read this. Psalms 103:20. I got a lot of scriptures this morning. So if you're taking notes, write them down and we'll talk about them maybe tonight. Psalms 103:20. It says, bless the Lord, all you his angels, you mighty ones who do his word, obeying the voice of God. And see, these Jews, talking about these Jewish Christians, see, they believed that angels were like created beings second unto God. So they had to really, really begin to try to convince them that Christ was greater than the angels. All right, so let's go. There are four important truths when you look at the scriptures, 1 through 14, or 4 through 14. When you look at these scriptures, there's four important truths that we really need to understand. And I know I don't need to convince you guys that Jesus is greater than angels, but this is basically what the writer of Hebrews was doing. So there's four points. One is we're looking at Jesus, right? It says his superior name is one. His superior name. And number two, his superior position. Jesus' position. And number three, his superior power. Looking at his power. And then number four was his superior place. Where was Jesus' place in all this? And as you really study Hebrews and these scriptures, I mean, it proves without a shadow of a doubt, you know, that Jesus is, you know, is who he is, as we all know who he is. All right, so let's look at number one, his superior name. The Hebrews, you know, they believe this. So Jesus was superior to angels because of his name. The name of Jesus has power. The name of Jesus. The Bible, we talk about a couple of different angels, right? There are thousands of angels, as we all know. There's thousands and thousands of angels. So there's two angels that really kind of stand out. One is Michael and Gabriel. So let's talk about that. That was real briefly. I won't spend a lot of time here, but the first is the Archangel Michael. And so for most of us know, the word archangel means what? It means chief angel. It means the commander of angels. So Michael was the commander of the angels. And some theologians, most do, believe that Michael is going to be the angel that's going to be the leader at the second coming of Christ. You know, that's some folks believe that. 1 Thessalonians 4:16 says, "The Lord himself will descend from heaven with the cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." So some folks believe that that's Michael making his entrance and leading the other angels. The other angel we'll talk about real briefly is Gabriel. We all remember Gabriel. Gabriel really was God's messenger or God's ambassador. And Gabriel's primary responsibility was to bring messages to people on earth. Now, two of the most famous messages that Gabriel brought, right? Everybody remember that? Was he brought the news and announced the news of the you know, John the Baptist and Jesus. And I find that kind of interesting sometimes because, you know, it's okay, Luke 1:19. Let me just read this real quick. Luke 1:19 says that, "And the angel answered him, 'I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God, and I was sent to speak to you and to bring you this good news.'" So who's he talking to? Zechariah, right? He's talking to Zechariah. Him and his wife were, you know, having problems, having a baby. Anyway, God sends Gabriel down to talk to Zechariah. And I picture this, so you have to forgive me, kind of country a little bit, but I picture them hanging out, talking, you know, here's Gabriel, here's Zechariah, and they're talking, and Gabriel's telling them, "Look, you're going to have a baby." You know, we all know how Zechariah took that, you know, but the point here is Zechariah told him, "Look, in the scripture right here, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God." So I have to kind of assume that a few minutes ago, or a few seconds ago, or a few hours ago, he might have been busy. He was standing in the presence of Almighty God, Jehovah God, creator of everything. And he says, you know, the father says, "Hey, Gabriel, go tell Zechariah they're going to have a baby." And we all know it was John the Baptist. Could you imagine that, standing there talking to this angel and him telling you this? Wow, what a Zechariah. Okay. It goes on later on in Luke, and we know that Gabriel goes and he talks to who? He talks to Mary and tells Mary that, you know, that she's going to have Jesus. And what a beautiful story. And Michael and Gabriel are definitely beautiful names, beautiful angels. But the Lord Jesus has a superior name, much superior name. God has never, listen to this, God has never called an angel my son. Nor has he ever, ever said that he was the father of an angel. Hebrews 1:16 says, "And again, when God brings his firstborn into the world, he says, 'Let all God's angels worship him.'" Amen. Angels are ministers and messengers, but are not sons of God. Angels are servants of God. Jesus is the Son of God. Now, I know the angels are in heaven, and they're you know, an awesome beings. Revelations 5:11 tells us, says, "Then I looked and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands, 10,000 upon 10,000s, and they encircled the throne and the living creatures and the elders." So these angels are worshiping Jesus. So as angels worship Jesus, shouldn't you and I? Amen. So this is what they were laying out for the Hebrews. Look, Jesus is worthy of our worship. He deserves our worship because His name is superior. So let's move to number two. His superior position. Okay. Psalms 104:4 says this. Psalms 104:4. He makes His messengers winds. Because see, a lot of this, we just read the scriptures in Hebrews. They were quoting from Psalms. They were quoting from Psalms. So He says, make His messenger winds and His ministers a flaming fire. Now, angels sometimes do spectacular things, don't they, in the Bible? If you really studied angels, they did some crazy, awesome, spectacular things. Especially in Judges 13. Remember Manoah and his wife? They couldn't have a baby either. And the angel came and told them that they were going to have a baby. Okay, and we all know that baby turns out to be Samson. So look at how it goes down here in Judges 13:20. In Judges 13:20 it says, "And when the flame went up toward heaven from the altar, the angel of the Lord went up into the flame." It says, "Now Manoah and his wife were watching, and they fell on their faces to the ground." Wow, think about that. They had this altar flame. I have a little fire pit in my backyard. And in the wintertime, I love to put little logs there, get my little lounge chair, and just sit right there and just look at the fire. A lot of guys like to do that, men. Ladies like to do it too. Well, sometimes I think about this scripture here. You know, I think about, I'm sitting there in my backyard by myself, and it's nighttime, I'm looking at stars. And not like stars at Glenn's house, but stars. Hey, Hira. And I've actually thought about this, really have. Like, I'm there by myself, I'm meditating, thinking about the Lord, just thinking about life. And I was thinking, what if an angel just came up and started talking to me? You know? That'd be really cool, you know. But what would be awesome, he got finished telling me something, and he just jumped in the fire and rode that fire and smoke right on up to heaven. That's crazy, isn't it? Just think, this is literally what happened, you know. And so, you know, as magnificent as that sounds, angels are still only servants. They're only servants while Jesus is King. He's the King of Kings. As I said earlier, this scripture is going back to Psalms. Psalms 45, where it talks about Jesus' throne goes forever and ever and ever. Let me just read it to you. Psalms 45, 6 and 7. Psalms 45, 6 and 7 says, "Your throne, O God, is forever and ever. The scepter of your kingdom is a scepter of uprightness. You have loved righteousness and hated wickedness. Therefore, God, your God has anointed you with the oil of gladness beyond your companions." You see, here he drives home. The writers of Hebrews driving home again. They're using the Word of God, Psalms, to make this point. That angels may take on a wondrous form or perform supernatural, powerful, big things. But they are still only servants. Now, however, it says clearly that Jesus is eternally enthroned with uprightness as His scepter. You see, a scepter is a highly decorated rod or staff a king holds to symbolize his sovereignty and his power. And Jesus has got one. I imagine what that thing looks like, right? Just boom, and it's highly decorated. Probably would, based on, you know, Old Testament stuff, it's probably got jewels and rubies and crowns and gold, and he's sitting on his throne with his staff. See, Jesus is King. Yeah, he came to earth and served, didn't he? He served and he, you know, made himself lowly. And he died on the cross and he was raised on the third day. But he's king now. He's King of Kings and he's waiting on the Father to give him that word. And he's going to come set up his kingdom. Revelation 19:16 talks about that. He says, on his robe and on his thigh, he has a name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. My client's always trying to justify that one. He's getting tattoos. I said, I don't want to go there and talk to you about that. I said, it's on his robe and his thigh. So, you know. Anyway, sorry. Jesus is superior to angels. It's okay. I don't have anything against tattoos at all, you know. Jesus is superior to angels because I just don't want to go there with them, right? You know, talk, you know, get sidetracked. Jesus appeared to angels because of his superior name and his superior position. And then number three, his superior power. Everybody say power. There you go, power. The writer of Hebrews tells us Jesus laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens with his hands. Wow, well, let that go over your head, right? Really, at the very beginning, Jesus laid the foundations of the earth and the heavens with his hands. It takes us back again to Psalms 102:25-27. It says, of old you laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of your hands. They will perish. Now look, this sounds just like we just read in Hebrews. They will perish, but you will remain. They will all wear out like a garment. You will change them like a robe, and they will pass away. But you are the same, and your years have no end. See, Jesus has already existed in the beginning, eternity past. He's God. He's the second person of the Trinity. Look at John, the book of John, chapter 1, verse 3. John 1:3 says, all things were made through him. And without him was not anything made that was made. See, we know now, according to the Word of God, that Jesus created the vastness, the universe, the galaxies, everything. Because everything was made through him. In Psalms, the writer states the earth and everything in it will perish. In other words, one day Jesus is going to, just like literally like changing a robe. He's that powerful. He's going to destroy everything. It's all going to pass away. He's going to be thrown away like rags. And he's going to start it all over. Amen? It's powerful. Jesus said he will remain and he will never go away. He will always be here. 2 Peter 3:10 says this. 2 Peter 3:10. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done in it will be exposed. That's powerful, isn't it? That's powerful. I love this little line right here. Write this down if you've taken notes. It says, creation will change, but the Creator will not, because Jesus is eternally the same. This creation is going to change, but Jesus will never change. Hebrews 13:8 says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. See, guys, a trillion, quadrillion, trillion years from now, Jesus will still be sitting on the throne. He will still be ruling and reigning over his creation because he is immutable. He doesn't change. Jesus is superior, as the writer of Hebrews is trying to drive home to these guys who were wondering about this. Jesus is superior to the angels and deserves our worship because of his superior name, his superior position, his superior power. And the fourth one, the last one, is his superior place. His superior place. Jesus Christ rules everything. And angels are servants. It's pretty straightforward, isn't it? And that's the way it's set up. God has never told an angel, as he did Jesus, to sit at his right hand until he makes the enemies their footstool. We talked about that a couple weeks ago. This is the second time in this chapter that Jesus is referred to as sitting beside God until his enemies are made his footstool. Jesus is still sitting beside Christ, beside God, isn't he? He's interceding for us. He's praying for us. He's rooting for us. You really study that little scripture there. It's really, and Jesus is like, go, yeah. It's like he's excited for us. He's interceding for us, praying for us. You see, Jesus makes it possible for you and I to approach the throne of God. The Bible talks about how now we can boldly go before the throne of God. Only because of what Christ did on the cross, isn't it? It's nothing because of us, but it has everything to do with what Jesus did on the cross. The death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. You see, now we can go to the Father and we can pray. We can pray in Jesus' name. We don't need a priest or high priest between us. John 14:13, Jesus says this, whatever you ask in my name, this I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Even the greatest angels are just ministering spirits. And God sends them to serve us who will inherit salvation. God sends them to help us. Angels are here to protect us. Angels protected Lot at Sodom, right? They protected Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace, right? They protected Daniel, shut those lions' mouths up when Daniel was in the lion's den. Guys, listen to this. I'm just going to read this to you. It says, because God is unchangeable, we can be sure if he sent angels to protect his people in the past, he continues to do so today. The Lord assigns his angels to minister to you and me when he feels it's necessary and appropriate. Psalms 91:11, which is our memory verse for the week in your bulletin. Psalms 91:11. For he will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. It's not Dallas telling you. This is what the Bible says, right? Amen? You see, Jesus, these angels that God sends, and then we, you know, have a part in this. We are all in this together to accomplish the Father's will on earth. You see, Jesus is superior to angels because of his name, his position, his power, and his place. My question this morning for you is, who is Jesus Christ to you? Have you invited Christ to be the Lord of your life and your Savior? The Bible says that whosoever will, let him come to the cross. Today is a day of salvation. Amen. Let's pray. Father, I pray for there's one here today that's never accepted Christ as their personal Savior. Or you say that you would draw a man into yourself. So Father, I just ask that you would draw them to the cross. or if they'd like to come down during the song of invitation, and I'd be glad to pray with them. We can settle that today, Lord. Maybe there's someone here who just feels a need to rededicate their life to the Lord. They can do that sitting right there in their pew or at home tonight, or they can come down to the altar too. Father, we love you. We thank you. In Jesus' name, Father, I pray this. Amen.